sitting on the pew and listening to Pastor Perry's his brief lesson on baptism, and I felt sitting there, I felt, yes, he's back. Did you feel that? Yes, he's back. So I forgot to, I had to come here, and I was sitting there, oh, why is he coming down? It was a great time to listen to his brief lesson on baptism. It reminds us of God's grace and his promise, his love. Before we read our text today, let's pray together. Now, Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing yourself through the scriptures, your salvation plan, your promises through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we are here again this Sunday, your day, to be reminded of your love, your grace, even your promise through baptism that we witness today. As we are worshiping you, as we are listening to your word, would you please bless us and help us to understand and help us to give our hearts to you and to be reminded of your love again. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been looking at the book of Philippians, today is chapter 3, verse 12 through 16. From the Pew Bibles, I believe that's 1249. This is the Word of God. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Amen. In the previous verses, we have learned, I can't say we witnessed that Paul was really angry. He was really angry at the Jewish Christians who brought false teachings of the gospel to the Philippian Christians. Now, Paul's gospel was all about Jesus Christ, who came to the world in human form and who died on the cross as our substitute to take away the sins of the world, that is recorded in chapter 2, and who rose again from the dead. However, the Jewish Christians added more. In Acts, their thought is found in Acts chapter 15 and verse 5. It's summarized like this, describes their teaching. It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses. Now, basically, they were saying to the Gentile Christians in Philippi, hey, you must be circumcised for your salvation. The church was divided because of that teaching, and people were confused because of that teaching, because of the false teaching from the Jewish Christians, false teaching about Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, some of them lost the sight of their faith in Christ. Some of them agreed, some of them disagreed, and some of them didn't understand, and they thought, well, this is nothing different compared to my previous religion. And some of maybe said, oh, I don't care about this. The church was divided into many sections. Now, as the founder of the church, Paul could not just watch the destruction of the church. So he had to do something as soon as possible. But we know that he was in prison. So he had to express his anger toward these false teachers. Then he had to bring Philippian Christians' attention to Christ again and again. So, interestingly, Paul called his own people, Jewish Christians, in chapter 3, verse 2, strong words, dogs, evil doers, and mutilators, which means skin curders. Now, the Philippian Christians must have been shocked by Paul's language that he picked dogs, evil doers, and mutilators. However, these shocking words were enough, strong enough to get their attention and read Paul's mind and heart. It's strong enough to get their distracted faith and their attention to Christ again. Then Paul said, boldly said, three times, verse 7, I counted as loss for sake of Christ. And verse 8, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. One more time, verse 8, the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. He's saying very interesting logic. I'm losing everything, but I'm gaining Christ. So I was reading a commentary this week, and his name is Ralph Martin. He wrote a word biblical commentary, and I tried to find him. He passed away last year. I found that. And he said like this about Paul. Paul is obsessed with Christ. Nothing else matters but Christ. He can afford to lose all, but not Christ. I agree. Paul did not come to Christ. We have to know that. Paul did not come to Christ first. Whether he persecuted him and his followers. However, the resurrected Christ came to see Paul, who was the murderous and always and an angry toward people, an angry Jewish young man. After meeting with Christ, Jesus turned his life totally upside down. Paul used to persecute Jesus and his people, the early Christians. Now, Book of Acts describes him that Paul did not eat and drink for 3 days after meeting with Christ. Now, for 3 days, Paul was able to find things and he was able to connect all the missing parts of his puzzle, his knowledge about Christ, God's promise from the Old Testament, and God's salvation, the Messiah, Christ, sin, death, forgiveness, and righteousness, justification, and the gospel, good news, for 3 days. Now then, he preached that Jesus is the Son of God, which is a big change through the power of his resurrection by participating in his suffering. Now, Paul wanted to know Christ more and more every day. That was our last week text. That's why he said, verse 8, I counted everything as loss. Because the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. It's been a week, 7 days, that we have studied Paul's teaching about knowing Christ. Then I have questions to you and to me. Do we really count everything as a loss to know Christ? Do we really want to know nothing but Christ? Do we really want to know the meaning of his power of resurrection, the power of his resurrection? And about his suffering? For Paul, knowing Christ, knowing about Jesus Christ was his ultimate goal, nothing else. And in our text, verse 12, he says like, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. In this short verse, we can say phrase, Paul expresses his burning zeal for knowing Christ again and again. Now we see that he already met the Christ, the resurrected Christ. That he already obtained some knowledge of Christ. He was the best person at the time who knew about Christ, who understood about Christ. Now, however, here he said his knowledge of Christ was not perfect. His understanding of Christ was not enough, was not fully completed here. So although he did not understand, he did not fully understand about Christ, now he is saying that, he boldly saying that, I will not give up. Rather, he pressed on himself to know Christ and more and more. That's verse 12. We see that he was kind of unstoppable. Knowing Christ was his unstoppable desire. No one can stop him. His burning desire of knowing Christ is well described in verse 13 in our text. He says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. In order to know Christ, the two things were continually happening in his heart. Forgetting things behind already happened. And the straining forward, which means stretching out. Now Paul used two present participles in language here in this verse. Not past, not future, the present. So he is saying that he wants to keep forgetting the past. Now we know what that meant. Now his honor, now his power, he was able to get all these things, honor and power, and all his advantages he talked about in chapter 3. And his education, he got everything. Even his possible material blessings, he got it all. But he counted them as rubbish. And keep forgetting about those things. Probably his friends and colleagues or family members thought, Paul is crazy. He got it all, but he gave it all. He's crazy. Actually, from Acts chapter 26 and 24, this is what a Roman governor says to Paul. He says to Paul, as he was saying to these things to in his defense, Festus said to with a loud voice, Paul, you are out of mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind. You are crazy. You're crazy about Jesus Christ. People said that. People thought he was crazy. Nothing was important to him. Nothing was meaningful to him, but only Christ. So for Paul, in order to know Christ better and more, he kept forgetting what lies behind, verse 13. Not only his promised life, but also he wanted to keep forgetting his bad attitude, experience, and bad heart toward Jesus Christ. He was the persecutor of the church. Even he approved the death of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. I don't think he was able to go to sleep after meeting with Jesus Christ. Keep thinking about, oh no, I killed him. I killed him. His burning desire, and then his murderous threat for the Christians, all these things, surely he wanted to keep forgetting these horrible sins against God. Looking at Paul's situation, Paul's confession reminds you and me of the Heidelberg Catechism in 88. It says, what is a dying away of the old self? It says, to be genuinely sorry for sin and more to hate and run away from it. Run away. Just keep forgetting. Run away from your sin. Not only just running away from his past, his honor, his power, everything he had, but Paul also wants to keep forgetting his sin, his bad experience. But also Paul wants to run towards something. He wants to run toward Christ. He wants to run for Christ. He wants to know Christ more and more. Therefore, he didn't and he will not stop running for Christ. He keeps running every day toward the goal that he said, the ultimate goal, that is his prize in our text says, that is Jesus Christ. In our text describes that his running desire to Christ, to know Christ is verse 13, straining and stretching out forward to what lies ahead. Now, I already mentioned that the straining forward means to stretch out in Greek. Now, here in verse 13, Paul gives you and me a picture of an athlete in his time who was running toward the finishing line. As a runner, Paul outstretched his hands, maybe both hands, not looking behind, but only fixing his eyes and his head towards something up front. What is ahead? That is Jesus Christ. He's running like a really boldly saying, I'm running toward him. He already met Jesus Christ. He already knew about him. He already knows that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah. He knows that the power of the gospel is for everyone who believes in him. But that's not enough. Everything that he knew, that was not enough. He wants more than that. He wants to know Christ more and more. And verse 13 is basically saying, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. That's why he said that. His desire of knowing Christ was not a one-time goal or event or desire. Now, his desire for knowing Christ was an ongoing desire, continually happening in his heart and every day. In verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul used this expression, I press on, twice in our text in verse 12 and 14. Now, both means present tense. That means he's still doing it. He wants people to know that this is present right now. At this moment, I'm writing the letter. I'm still pressing myself to know Christ. The meaning of press on in Greek is to move quickly, energetically, and towards something like objective. Not slowly, but moving quickly, energetically, and moving toward the goal. And once again here, Paul is giving us an image of an athlete who is energetically running toward the goal of prize to win the game. Nothing else. Don't look at back and just don't look at your friends running with you. Just looking at the cross and running. His ultimate prize is Christ. By reading this text, we know that Paul used a similar illustration in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 later. This is what he said in verse 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. This is funny to read this expression. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others I myself should be disqualified. It can be another topic of sermon, but it's interesting to read his expression. I do not box as one beating the air. Paul did not want to waste his time a bit at all. He did not want to stop knowing God, knowing Christ. He did not want to run or aimlessly without any target, any goal, just walking around. He didn't want that. Rather, he decided to push himself, to faithfully push himself, to run toward Christ. Christ was his aim. Christ was his goal. Christ was his prize in order to know Christ, the power of his resurrection and suffering. Paul kept pressing. We can say keeps pressing himself to run and run and run until he meets the Lord Jesus Christ again. Never ending. And he says in verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Here once again, Paul gives us an image of a winner. Not just only a game, but it's a winner in the ancient Olympic Games. And after each game, the judges of the game announced their names, the winner. Not only their names, but their father's name and his country. Then an athlete, the athlete came forward to receive the prize, usually palm branch, as the symbol of their achievement. Now, Paul is giving this picture to the Philippian Christians. Picture about God is calling, you are the winner. When he keeps pressing himself to run toward Christ, run toward Christ, getting the final goal, until he hears God calls his name. The upward call of God. That's what that meant in verse 14. Surely we know that. We know his zeal and passion for Christ. And always running for Christ. Until he meets the Lord Jesus Christ again. The interesting thing is, by looking at his race, we know that his race never ends until he meets the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about his running toward Christ. Now, in chapter 1 and 2, Paul talked about many problems of the happening in the new the Philippian Christians and the Philippian church. We already touched that matters. Divisions in the church. People were divided, grumbling and disputing one another. And even they were confused by false teachings of the gospel. That's chapter 3 from the Jewish Christians. Now in verse 15, after touching all these things and his faith in Christ, in verse 15, after describing himself as a runner in Christ, now Paul invites all his friends in Philippi, all his readers, the Philippian Christians, now it's time to run the race together. He says in verse 15, let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Now, Paul used the word mature in verse 15. That means simply to be perfect in Greek. Now, he used the same word in verse 12, and same as a verb form, which means perfect. Now, in verse 15 here that I just read, he used the same word as an adjective to describe his attitude in Christ. That's why many English Bibles translate this particular verse like a mature, like a ESV and NRSV. Now, he's inviting the Philippian Christians here to be mature Christians in a certain way that do not stop running toward Christ. Keep asking them, joining the race. Now, he did not ask them to be perfect based on the law, which the Jewish Christians brought that teaching. Paul is not asking them to follow that way, but he's asking them to be mature Christians in Christ. And simply saying, don't look at your situation, brothers, sisters. I know what's happening in you, but don't look at situation. Don't look at the differences. Don't waste your time to argue with your brothers and sisters. That's wasting time. Don't be distracted with false teachings. No more grumbling. No more disputing. But please join the race with me. Don't give up, but keep running. Keep running the race with me until we finish the race, until we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 16 says more, only let us hold true to what we have attained. The NIV translates, only let us live up to what we have already obtained. Now, literally, we can translate this verse like this. Let us live up to the same thing. There's a missing part here. What we have attained. Although they were different people, different thoughts and background and everything, they're not same people. But here, the Paul is saying in Greek word, the same. They share the same Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they have attained already. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, Ephesians 4:5. Therefore, you got that all. We already got it. Now, Paul is urging the Philippian Christians, therefore, join the same race that we are running. Join with them. Join together as a church. Let's run toward Christ. Let's run together for Christ. Let's run to know nothing about Jesus Christ. Now his invitation to the Philippian Christians has extended to you and me today. Are you ready to run a race for Christ? As Paul said, forgetting what lies behind, our sins, wrongdoings, failures, even misunderstanding, complaints, boasting, and pride, honor, selfish interest. Paul particularly talked about selfish interest in the Philippian church. Forgetting all these things, but stretching your hands and your heart toward what lies ahead, which is Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Not just only one time, but Paul says, keep pressing yourself on toward the finishing line. And how about this question? Are we, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, are we ready to run a race for Christ together as a church? Now, this is a tricky part. I was reading the Bible and I found a very interesting thing from John chapter 6 and 16, which is about Jesus teaching about, he said, I am the bread of life. This is what the scripture says. Jesus taught disciples and people that I am the bread of life. And the people around him said, after this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. I think this is really happening in our time. When we say, let's go together, let's run a race for Christ, only Christ, people, run away. We don't want to walk that way. Are we, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, are we running toward Christ together or running away from him? In the book of Philippians, the Paul kept encouraging the Philippian Christians to be united with Christ, in Christ. Then now Paul gives them more difficult challenges. Not only being united with Christ, in Christ, but he's asking them, hey, running a race together as a community in Christ. As Paul ran for the goal and for the prize, that he asks you and me today to have the same goal as a church, the same prize. I know that we have been running together very well. We have been doing great so many years. But based on Paul's teaching, our race is not finished yet. We need to run and run and run together as a church until we fully understand the meaning of Jesus Christ, His resurrection and His suffering. I know that there will be a great challenge for any church in the world running together. Running alone would be much easier than running together, we know that. But running together is much better than running alone. That's why Paul says in chapter 1, verse 27, clearly says, like, standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. This particular verse is asking people that locking your arms together and walking together for the faith of the gospel. Now, Paul is asking in chapter 3, hey, now it's time to run for the gospel, run toward Jesus Christ together. Are we ready to join the race again? The finish line is not something in this earth, but Jesus Christ. In verse 12, Paul says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it on my own. And later he says, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. I believe that this is one of the most powerful descriptions of Jesus Christ that Paul said. Now, what he's saying is, he's not running alone. He's not running by himself or his own power, knowledge, or his experience. He's saying that in verse 12, he says, because Jesus, Christ Jesus, has made me His own. That it means simply not only Paul is running toward Jesus Christ, stretching his arms and fixing his head and heart on Christ. It means Christ is the one actually grasping him, holding him with his mighty hands and power. That's why he says, Jesus has made me His own. That's in the original language meaning is just Jesus Christ is holding him. I shared my story with my wife during this week. This is awesome to know that we're not running toward Christ by ourselves, but Jesus is holding us in His hands. And I'm borrowing her illustration, and baby is holding father's hand and pinky, and it'll be very easy to fall and just stop. But actually, not baby is holding father's hand, but the father is holding baby's hand and walking together. Paul is inviting his brothers and sisters in Philippi. We have to run this race together because Christ is holding you and me. Now, speaking to us, brothers and sisters of New Hope Church, are you ready to run? And let's join the race again to know Christ. Let's join the race to run toward Christ. Forgetting what lies behind, even our sins. But stretching our hands and our hearts forward to what lies ahead, which is Jesus Christ. Not only one time, but keep pressing yourselves. Even we see that sometimes our brothers and sisters are falling and not doing well. Just help them, pick them up and holding their hands. And let's run together for the goal that is Jesus Christ until we finish the race all together. And let's have a runner's heart keep running, never tiring, a runner's heart for Jesus Christ. Then we will hear when Jesus Christ comes, "Well done, my faithful servants." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Paul's teaching and his description of his faith as a runner. Would you please bless our brothers and sisters in the church here at New Hope Christian from church, even their family members attending different churches. And help us to run together toward Christ to finish our game until you come back to us. We pray all these things, your Son, in Jesus' name.